Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 118. I've got Phoebe with me.
Hello.
But not
I'm not
here
actually with
me.
You.
You're not here with me. You're with me through the miracle of the internet.
Yes.
You are podcasting your first podcast from college, and I'm super excited to talk to you because I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know.
So you are at Utah State University in Logan, Utah.
Yes.
In your dorm room, right?
I am. I'm at my desk in my dorm room.
Yeah. And I got you a special microphone so you can podcast and some headphones. And we are podcasting together from thousands of miles apart. How's it going?
Pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I was thinking about it today. I'm a little ambivalent about it.
A little ambivalent? It's your life. Don't be ambivalent about your life.
Oh, my life? I mean, college in general is what I meant, but I don't know. Like,
well, don't be ambivalent about college either, because it's your next 4 years of your life.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel like I'll simultaneously be like, every single day I'll simultaneously be like, this is great. And also like, this is also awful. So, you know, it's also great though. So it's fine, I guess.
I can see how it could be overwhelming because it's so much different from your life pre-college.
There's just like things that are annoying, but then things that are like really fun. So it's, you know, a little bit of both.
Well, I think overall, most people look back on college very fondly. So
I know. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's been like less than a month.
Yeah.
So I'm still like kind of making friends and like finding people and like stuff like that.
And first impressions of college.
I like the mountains.
It's very scenic. The place you're going to college is a very pretty campus.
It's, you know, I gotta say it's kind of weird being around a lot of extended family.
Yeah. So you
I haven't had that a lot.
An aunt and some cousins
I have, like,
that live
everyone.
Nearby. You have a cousin that lives in town.
I have two cousins who live in town, actually, from
You've got
other sides.
Another cousin that's going to college with you. Is he actually going to college?
I don't know. I'm not completely sure.
Reportedly going to college.
Hasn't been confirmed or denied.
Okay.
Oh, actually, though, I'm seeing that family, the ones who live kind of farther away, but my cousin Kate and her mom, who Kate listens to the podcast, so hi, Kate.
Hey, Kate.
I know she
How's
does sometimes.
Going, Kate?
She's coming up to Logan with her mom this weekend. I'm going to go see them too, so that'll be fun.
Awesome.
But I've seen a lot of them, and I have a cousin who, she's in kind of like a post-high school special needs program, but I get to take a religion class with her, and it's super fun. I get to be like a peer mentor, and it's a good time. With like a special needs church class.
That sounds pretty fun.
It's a good time.
Yeah. How is your dorm is brand new.
Yes.
Is it nice having a new dorm instead of an old broken down dorm?
It would be nicer if everything was done and working.
Oh yeah. There's still some glitches.
Slash stuff that's not, there's some things like, okay, I know the big things they'll do eventually. Like they've been working on a volleyball court slowly right outside our dorm. For like, I don't even know when it'll be done. Maybe it'll be done this year. Maybe not. This whole dorm is supposed to be done over a year ago, but whatever. But there's just some little things like, okay, like in the community kitchen next to our dorm. Like, okay, the bigger things I know will get done eventually. But the little things, I'm like, do they ever remember that this is like not done?
Yeah.
There's a table it's just a tabletop that's in the kitchen next to our dorm. And because it doesn't have a base, it's just resting on like some chairs. And it's never gotten to base.
That sounds dangerous, precarious.
No, I mean, it's not. It's like resting, I don't know how to describe it. It's like resting on the part of the chairs where you sit on and like four of them. So it's pretty like stable, but you can't really sit down it. You have to like sit on the floor.
Yeah, it's not like table height though, right?
No, unless you're in like Japan or something. But
yeah.
But no, it's like, it's those little things, like the smaller details that I'm like, do they remember that this needs to be addressed?
Yeah, because who's going to do that? Normally, if it was a house, it would be like the homeowners, like, hey, guys, you got to finish this. But for a dorm.
Well, and they have construction workers here, but there's just some little things that I'm like, do they even remember that this needs to be done, or did they just like do it halfway?
Yeah.
So yeah, our first night here, or one of the first nights, I think, there wasn't hot water. So that was rough. And not just like I feel like if it was there wasn't hot water in Texas, it'd be fine, because our normal water is like room temperature, you know? Mm-hmm. But this was like the coldest shower. I took a shower because I'm clean. It was the coldest shower I've ever taken in my entire life. It was like ice cold.
Yeah, like, because the water you get comes from like mountain springs. Yeah. So it's mountain spring water.
It's literally like ice cold water. It's from like mountain stuff. But
right.
Like, I could not fully get under the water, or, like, I could literally feel, like, all my muscles seize up, and, like, I couldn't breathe. It was really bad. And I was sitting at church that day, and my church group is, like, all the people from my building, and I was just looking around and thinking, I wonder if any of these people actually showered. And I bet most of them didn't, because it was too cold.
But you did. You suffered through.
I did. It was rough. And then there's some other little, there's just like little, like one of our breakers kind of doesn't work.
So does the power go out randomly?
Yes. In like three of the rooms. And my room is one of them. So that's kind of annoying.
So at any point you could just drop off and this podcast would come to an abrupt end?
No, it's not I don't think it's the power. I think it's just the lights.
Oh, so the lights go out.
Yeah, but yeah, sometimes they do.
So you went to a college football game for the first time ever.
I did. We won. Go yeah. Aggies.
I was watching it on Facebook.
Oh, were you really?
Did you know it was on Facebook?
I did not.
Yeah, they've been broadcasting. I think last year they started broadcasting a lot of the games on Facebook, which is really kind of strange.
Did you see how they did the stripe the stadium thing?
I did.
Did they show the crowds at all?
Yeah, they showed the crowd a lot. In fact, I was watching to see if I could see you.
I was in the front.
I didn't know for sure whether you were at the game until after.
Yeah, if you were, because I put on Facebook that I learned the difference between a touchdown and a field goal. I thought they were the same. I didn't know the difference for a while.
Congratulations on learning that.
Yeah.
You scored. There were a lot of field goals kicked in that game, so that was a good game to learn.
Oh, yeah. We kind of killed it. I mean,
there were like six or seven field goals or something.
It was kind of insane. It was like, we did really well.
Yeah.
Got a good football team this year. Go Aggies.
Yep.
But I got a free t-shirt. They just had a thing where different sections of the stadium were like different colors. So there was like stripes.
Yeah, it looked really cool. So it was like, you know, vertical stripes. So one section would wear a white and some would wear a dark blue.
Yeah, navy and white. So the first 5,000 people who got there, they just had all these t-shirts laid out on the benches and you could just take one.
That's very cool.
And put it on. So I have a free t-shirt now.
Excellent.
I was in the, if you were looking... I mean, not that it matters now because you couldn't see me, but I was on, I think, the farthest right blue section, and I was near the front.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
I didn't know whether you were actually there, so I wasn't looking that hard.
I went to a sports game.
It's actually like the games are on Facebook. So I think last year they started putting games on Facebook. And in fact, I think the very first game ever to be broadcast on Facebook was a Utah State game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like you can just watch it like Facebook app. And the video stream's gotten a lot better too. And it's kind of nice because they don't play commercials. So instead of doing commercials, they do a lot of like stuff with the crowd. So they actually show the crowd a lot. So next time,
did you see the guys in the chicken onesies?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
I think three or four guys in chicken onesies.
Yeah.
So fun stuff.
Utah State, your college, my college, the one that I graduated from also has really good sports crowds. So
yeah, they have, I think
even
they
if you're
voted,
not a huge sports fan, it's worth it to go to the games.
Yeah. I think they were voted the best student section for like US colleges, or one of the best.
Yeah. The football and the basketball are like super good crowds. They're fun.
And one of the reasons that it's so, they try really hard to make it a good crowd. So they do events like that Stripe the Stadium thing where they'll give you a free t-shirt, or they'll have like special deals where if you get there early, you get food, or like all these things. But also all the sports games are free for students, which is cool.
It is cool.
I feel like sports games. Do you say sports games?
Sports games. Sports competitions.
Games. Sporting events is, I feel like, what you're saying. I don't know.
And it was nice because the team did really well. So that's awesome.
Yeah. It was to the point where it was kind of like you almost felt bad. I think
in fact, I think they're going to be really good this year. Because the first game they played was against like a top ranked team and they almost won. Michigan State, actually.
I hear we got close. They did have a watch party for it, actually.
They were tied until like 2 minutes left, and then Michigan State scored a touchdown.
They actually did hear, because that was one of the ones they broadcasted. They had a big watch party out on the soccer fields for us.
Yeah.
And I went to like 30 minutes of it.
Yeah. So Utah State is what's known as a mid-major school. So that means they're not in a major conference. So they're not on TV as much. They're still on TV some. So it's nice that Facebook is broadcasting these because I can actually watch it and I can actually watch it from my phone. So,
do you know if they're going to show the BYU game?
That'll be on TV for sure, but I'm not sure what type. Is that in Logan?
It's in Provo, but I'm going to go down.
Oh, are you? Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That should be a good game. I think BYU is pretty good this year. They were kind of terrible last year, and Utah State kind of killed them.
Yeah. But we're doing good, so hopefully we'll win. But yeah. I'm going to go down, and I have a friend who's going to BYU, so she's excited because I can come kind of stay with her for a night, and she said she's going to set me up with some BYU boys, so we'll see.
That's funny. That'll be fun. That'll be a good time.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time.
A good college-y time, right?
Yeah.
Visiting another friend in college and going
especially
to see football.
Especially if we win.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like shade thrown at BYU here.
They're not Utah State's traditional rival. I mean, the biggest rival is Utah and BYU.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone kind of like you feel the rival more with BYU, I feel like.
For sure.
People make fun of them more.
Within Utah, it's like you're either a huge BYU fan or you really don't like BYU.
No, that's,
so
yeah.
every school kind of feels that way. So even though Utah is really their traditional rival, Utah State is plenty happy to whenever we beat BYU too.
Yeah. Well, cause I mean, yeah. And we know so many BYU fans, but like, it's just too easy. Cause people who like BYU, I feel like just really, really like BYU.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like, even if most of the fans are really pretty good, it's the ones that give them a bad reputation.
I know. The annoying
ones. I'm sure
ones
they think the
like,
same thing about us, but.
Oh, I'm sure. But yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just didn't grow up in Utah, so I haven't had a lot of exposure to super annoying Utah State fans, but
yeah,
I also didn't know that many. But I almost applied to BYU. It's a good school. I ended up not applying because
you decided where you wanted to
go. And also they require like 6 essays and like all these interviews and crazy stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to go that bad anyway.
Because once you got accepted and you knew what program you wanted to do, there wasn't much point.
Oh, hey, Maisie. Oh,
it's Maisie.
I miss her so much.
It is Maisie.
Oh, I miss Maisie. I'm going to cry. Love that.
And she's doing the same thing in the background. So it's time for our Maisie update.
Oh, I miss her so much.
So Maisie, you know, for a while in her kennel, she only had a blanket.
Yeah,
and I
put
finally
that there
felt
bad
she chewed
for up her bed.
I finally felt bad for her, and I bought another bed. So she got a bed, you know, got it through an online retailer, arrived in 2 days.
Did she rip it up?
The first thing she did was start to chew it. And I'm like, Maisie, come on, it's your bed. Why are you eating
your
bed?
Well, okay, the thing about her first bed was her first bed lasted a long time.
It's the same kind. It's the exact same kind. And she hasn't chewed it up yet, but she will just sit there and gnaw on it. And she'll pull it out of her kennel.
Yeah, the first one she didn't actually chew through, which she totally could have. But what she did was she would just put it in her mouth and kind of like, I guess kind of like suck on it a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, but she didn't, she actually, that one, her first bed lasted a pretty long time.
Yeah. So she has a new bed. It makes me feel a little less bad about keeping her in a kennel at night. But yeah, she will pull it out and chew on it. She hasn't destroyed it yet, but I can't seem to get her to stop chewing on it. I feel a little bad for her lately because now that school has started, like,
no one plays
no
with
one
her
really
anymore.
Has enough time for her, and you can tell she really wants the attention.
Plus, with me gone, is there anyone left in the house that really loves her?
I think yes. I think we love her.
Okay, I was so sad because I told Mom. I was like, she like sent me a picture of Maisie, and I was like, oh, tell her that you love her from me. And she was like, yeah, I did. And she looked at my face, so I'm not doing that again. And I was like, wow, it must be so difficult having a dog.
I mean, you can tell her you love her from across the room.
I miss her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been super. She does a thing where she like lays around all day, and then as soon as like we're ready for bed, she wants to go crazy.
Yeah,
she runs around the house and wants to play fetch and yeah.
Oh, I miss her so much.
She's a good dog. You might not see her until December.
Oh, that's sad.
But that's our Maisie update.
Oh, every time that I see somebody's dog around campus, I'm like, "Can I pet your dog?" And like, ugh. Oh. Today there was a couple of really sweet dogs because they had their weekly farmer's market that they have here. It's just like a little one with like maybe like a handful of stands, but like some people have their dogs. They're really cute.
You wish you had a dog, don't you?
Oh, so much. Okay, the thing is, a lot of people in my dorm, there's at least like 3 dogs in my dorm complex, and it's because people get emotional support animals.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like... And I know a lot of people who are like, I'm going to get my dog registered as an emotional support animal. But I like, I don't know. I don't, as much as I would like to do that, I also feel like it kind of like invalidates people that actually need them.
A little bit. Yeah.
I kind of agree with that. I wouldn't want to do that. Partly because I don't think dogs should be kept in dorms all day. Like, I just don't think I would feel bad for the dog. And partly because it'd be really hard to like take it out and stuff, especially since I'm on the 4th floor and there's like not a nearby elevator. And the elevator's super slow. But also, like, yeah, I would feel bad for people who actually need emotional support animals. Because, like, I feel like no one takes them seriously anymore.
It's true.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
So yeah, no dogs for me.
I'm debating in my head whether or not to bring this up, but I think you have some views on Taco Time.
I have a lot of very... I have, you know... That's one of the things I'm most ambivalent about college experience.
Taco Time is sort of a Western states. It's sort of like Taco Bell. It's fast food Mexican.
It's a really, really white Mexican chain.
It's a very, non-Mexican Mexican food.
It's like, it kind of seems like where they would eat on like a sitcom.
I used to eat it when I was a kid. So I grew up in Logan. Well, for part of my childhood in Logan. Where you're living now. And I remember we used to go and we used to get the Burrito Supreme. We used to get these coupons in the mail where you could go and you could get like, you know, like 3 tacos and a burrito for like $2 or something. I don't know. Right. It's like super cheap.
So really where people should go if they want to learn more about Taco Time is the new podcast, the new spinoff podcast going to make called Taco Time to Dad, where I review every single item on the menu of Utah State's on-campus Taco Time.
They don't like your pun. I'm sorry. They just don't think Taco Time to Dad.
Dad, how many of your jokes have gone viral?
It's really hard to say.
None.
It's really hard to say. There could be some of my jokes that went viral that I don't even know about.
That's not true. I have one joke that went viral. They actually wrote about it in the news. You might have seen it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We tweeted it out from the official Talk to Dad.
Therefore,
Twitter.
My jokes, much funnier.
So Taco Time, there is one on campus, right? In the student center?
Yes, and it's like one of two, because they just opened a Subway today. Oh. But it's one of the 2 fast food chains that count towards your meal plan, so I can like get $7 worth of food for a meal.
Oh, I get it. So, yeah.
So that's why I've been eating there a lot. And I've eaten there. I'm kind of ashamed to admit this. First of all, because they have like they have Subway and Taco Time, but then they also have like restaurants that are like through dining services, but they're not like an all you can eat thing. They're like a little cafe or whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's a bunch of those around campus.
It's like a food court basically, right?
There's
cafes in other buildings. Yeah. So yeah, in the student center, there's kind of like a food court.
Yeah.
That's where Taco Time is, I think.
Yes. Yeah, it is. But they also have like little cafes and it's kind of funny. It feels almost like Disney World-ish because like there's all these cafes and they all have different names, but they all serve basically the same things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like kind of like, you know, when you go to a little Disney World cafe and they like pretend it's different, but it's all the same food.
Or like Six Flags where it's like different restaurants all over the whole park, but
and they'll be like, you know, ye old burger stand, but it's all the same burgers everywhere.
Right.
It's not the same, like, I mean, it's not, burgers. They're not themed mostly.
Yeah. You know, so, when I was in college where that food court is now, there used to be a bowling alley.
Oh, really?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, we don't get to bowl.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have, so you're only allowed to use one thing that's not one of the, like, all you can eat dining halls. You can only use one of those per day if you're on the weekly meal plan that I'm on. So I will let you know. I'm so not otherwise, eating tartar
you've got to do it in the dining hall.
Yeah, which is, yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Cafeteria food.
Yeah, some of it's actually good. They have really good salmon.
Oh, yeah.
They had salmon and, like, mashed potatoes and, like, roasted broccoli one day, and it was so good.
Well, that's good. Salmon is pretty quality.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I was like, maybe I need to eat here more often because this is actually good. But otherwise, you know, it's hit and miss.
So Taco Time.
Yeah, so Taco Time.
The one thing at Taco Time that I actually crave sometimes, and sometimes when I'm in Utah, I'll actually go get one. It's not good.
That's how I feel.
But I like it anyway. Is the crispy bean burritos.
And
it's
like a rolled up
burrito. It's kind of like a taquito.
I see people with those.
They're rolled up and they have beans in them, but then they're like deep fried. So they're like super bad for you.
Yeah.
But they're really crunchy.
I haven't tried it yet.
They're really crunchy and kind of good.
So I hate to say this, but I have eaten there, I think, the last three lunches I've had. And the only three times I've ever eaten at Taco Time. So, you know. Yeah. But it's because, I swear it's because I can't decide whether or not it's good. I'll go and I'll be like, is this good? I don't know. I tried their...
Maybe by the end of the semester, they'll have a firm opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if I will even then. Because it's so
They have something called a stuffed Mexi fry that I think you've been thinking about a lot lately.
Okay. Well, okay, first of all, their Mexi fry in general, I have issues with. I actually tweeted them. Did you see where I tweeted them, Dad?
I did. I saw that. So when I was a kid, they had Mexi fries, but Mexi fries were just tater tots with like sour cream and cheese and salsa on them.
Right.
Which is pretty good, you got to admit.
They don't have those on them. They don't have anything on them. They're just tater tots. I was like, so I like tweeted them and I was like, listen, I have some questions.
Oh, maybe it was like if you got the Mexi fries supreme.
Yeah, it might be
something
like that.
So Mexi fries were just tater tots.
We have a limited menu, but we have Mexi fries and stuffed Mexi fries, and they're literally just tater tots. Like, and I tweeted them, and I was like, what's Mexican about them? Like, what's fry about them? Why wouldn't you just call them Mexi tots or something? But like,
and you are going to school about maybe 15 miles from where Napoleon Dynamite was filmed.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah.
tots play a big role in that movie,
but they don't call them tots. I like tweeted them and I was like, why wouldn't you just call them like, I get that you're like trying to make them like kind of gimmicky or like, what's the word? I don't even know what the word is for that, but, it's evading me right now. But, I was like,
They're trying to brand them, right? They're trying to,
yeah. Like I get that they're trying to have like a thing.
Them. Yeah.
But I'm like, why wouldn't, like, they're not, there's nothing fry-like about them either. And they said, what did they say?
Oh, did they respond to you?
Yeah, they did.
Was their response?
They said, thank you for being a fan. I wouldn't call myself a fan. I have eaten there 3 days in a row, though. And for your interest in Taco Time, Mexi fries are bite-sized potato gems seasoned with our signature spice blend and are proprietary to Taco Time. Tater tots are just tater tots. Have a wonderful
day. I think
if
they were being honest, their response would be,
like, anyone can even know that.
But the thing is, there's no spice blend. I had the plain ones today on accident. I didn't mean to. The stuffed ones are okay. The stuffed ones have cheese and jalapenos in them, and they're kind of like,
see, that
although not
sounds
enough,
kind
in
of
my opinion,
good.
They taste like, seriously, just like if you took Sonic's tater tots, because they're pretty good tater tots, Sonic's tater tots and their cheddar peppers and put them into one thing. And also their ranch dipping sauce is like really good. Their ranch is better than Sonic's.
Yeah, Sonic's tater tots are better than their fries. I will say that.
Yeah, no one likes Sonic's fries. But no, it's like, but they're pretty good. But the plain ones don't have any spices on them. They're just, it's just salt. So I have some issues with it.
Their signature seasoning is just salt.
It's just, I swear, I don't taste any signature seasoning in them.
Yeah, I think Taco Time in general.
Signature spice blend.
Because it's, you know, like a mountain state's chain. It's pretty bland. I mean, it's not like super spicy.
It's not like super well. I tried because I've been trying to like, you know, because if that's going to be like one of the only places I can eat on my meal plan, I have to figure out like what's good. So yesterday I got a quesadilla and I tried all the different sauces. In the original, they have like the original, the verde or the green, whatever they call the green sauce, and like the hotter sauce, as they call it.
Oh, yeah.
And their original, I actually don't mind the flavor of their original, but it has no heat to it at all. Like, Henry could probably eat it, maybe, without crying.
Yeah, Henry is the person in our family who at least likes spicy. But I think you're right. I think he could handle it fine.
He'll complain about things that are spicy that will be like, there's no spice in this. I love him, though.
He's very spice sensitive.
Yeah, he is. But he could eat this. Like, there's no heat to it whatsoever. And then the green sauce is okay. And then the hotter sauce is just like the original, but like actually has some heat to it. But it's still not bad. So I think I decided the hotter is the one that I should be getting. But you know, it's not going to be super authentic Mexican food if they hand out ketchup packets.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I found out a fact the other day that kind of blew my mind.
Oh, yeah?
In Mexico City, sometimes quesadillas don't have cheese in them.
Huh.
Isn't that weird? I think it's only in Mexico City, too. Like, if you go to other parts of Mexico and you order a quesadilla, it'll have cheese. But, like, queso means cheese. But in...
That's so weird.
In Mexico City, a quesadilla doesn't necessarily have cheese unless it's a quesadilla con queso. It just seems so weird. That's so redundant. Anyway.
Yeah. I actually watched that episode of the Somebody Feed Phil episode with Grandma and Grandpa, your parents.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew they wanted to watch TV, and I knew that they would like that. And they actually really liked it. Actually, Grandma liked it more than I thought she would. She loves Phil.
How can you not like Phil?
She's seriously, every time she's like, oh, he's just so good. Such a nice guy.
He is such a nice guy.
So anyway, I think they said they'd listened to this podcast before, so maybe they're listening. But they really liked it.
I think they have listened to it before. I'm not sure how often they listen to it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But if they are... Hi. But no, he starts out the episode talking about quesadillas.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like the first Mexican food he ever had.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good episode though. But yeah, they really liked it. So maybe they'll watch some more of that. They have Netflix. So.
Yeah. Anything else going on that we need to discuss?
It's starting to get cold a little bit.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how cold it is there.
I mean, not crazy cold. I think the lower days so far, it's still gotten into the 80s every day, pretty much.
Oh, that's, maybe that's that'll pretty stop warm this week, for where you are.
I know, which is kind of annoying, because then in the mornings, it'll be as low as maybe like 48 degrees.
Yeah, there's a lot more variation there than there is here.
I don't like it, because like, I don't know, like then I feel like I have to change halfway through the day.
Yeah, so yeah, that high mountain, did I just...
Okay, so like... Tomorrow it's getting down to 40, but then the high is 79. So you feel like you need two outfits.
Yeah, because there's a big temperature swing when you're in the really dry climate and also the high elevation. Yeah.
Oh, it's so dry. I made you send me Korean face masks because my skin's really dry.
Did you like your package?
I did.
So I sent you a package with a couple of things we can do for treat yourself because you're there and I'm here. Yeah. And then I also sent you melon milk. Mm-hmm. Which I knew you would like because you enjoy it.
I love melon milk. I have the other one right in front of me right now, and I might drink it.
Korean melon milk.
So good.
I only sent you two because they really make the package much heavier.
Yeah.
So it's kind of expensive melon milk.
Sad.
But I also sent you some Korean face masks.
Because I requested them because I was like, my skin is so dry.
I think technically they're from the Korean grocery store, but they're like Taiwanese or something. Anyway, Asian face masks.
Oh.
Yeah.
They come from Korea.
There's like Korean versions and Japanese versions and
Taiwanese version. But they originated in Korea. But
lately Mom and I have been watching a lot of Korean dramas on TV. I don't know why, just because. And Mom always comments about how the actresses have such good skin, and I say it's because they use all those Korean skincare products.
Probably, but also But
also they're TV stars.
Ooh, what I've been watching. Okay, my favorite movie right now. It's so good. I've actually seen it like three times. I don't usually rewatch things either. One time was when I was showing it to someone, but I don't know if you heard of this movie. It's kind of a big deal with like teenagers right now, but To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Now, is that a movie or is it a series?
It's a Netflix movie.
Yeah, I've been thinking about watching that. I mean, it's recommended on our Netflix.
I mean, it's totally like a romantic comedy for like high schoolers, but it's so good.
I've heard it's really good, and we've thought about watching it.
I think we
had planned on watching it, but we haven't watched it yet.
It's really cute, but it's the girl, and it focuses on the girl, and it kind of focuses on our sisters too a little bit, but they're half Korean. Uh-huh. And she uses, the one thing she uses in that they talk about is those little yogurt drink things.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? And like,
yeah,
they're drinking them, and I was like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I saw some tweet somewhere that was like, now all these like Americans are going to be crowding the Korean markets trying to get these.
Hey, we were on board with that stuff way before it became trendy.
And then she also uses, there's a scene where she's using these face masks with a friend. And I was like, that's what I need, because my skin is so dry here. Like if I rub it, it's like I have face dandruff.
We'll have to check out that show. I have heard it's good.
It's so good. I don't know if you would like it as much as I do, but you might. It's cute.
I like that Netflix is doing some stuff that's just kind of fun and sweet instead of trying to be edgy all the time.
They kind of do a lot of different stuff, but it's
I like to see that. I like that they're broadening stuff. I've noticed like with some of the series, like they front load, if it's like an MA show, they front load a lot of the objectionable stuff, like right at the beginning of the first episode. Mm. I don't know why. Maybe just because they can. I don't know.
I haven't felt that as much. Maybe though. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and maybe this is sort of, it's not as big a deal anymore, but when they first started doing their original programming, I think they wanted to show that they were like, you know, like the premium cable shows and they can show whatever they want.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shows I only made it like 10 minutes into, and I was like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. They've got a lot of, they have like a kind of a mix of stuff on there. I think they have a pretty wide variety, but it's a cute movie. It made me cry. I really liked it. So, yeah.
Good. Thanks for the recommendation. I have been studying like crazy because I suddenly got nervous. I signed up for the Japanese language proficiency test. And realized that you can only take it once a year. I took the level 3. So it goes, I've talked about this on the podcast before. 2 years ago, I took the level 3. And it goes from 5 to 1. 1 is the hardest. So I took and passed the level 3, which is sort of like the right in the middle. And this year I'm taking the level 2, which is harder than the level 3. It is more difficult. And I've been studying... But I've really kind of amped up my studying because it turns out they only offer it on the first Sunday of December. And this year, the first Sunday in December is December 2nd.
That's like right before I come home. No, it's not.
And I have to travel to Houston. I have to drive down to Houston to take the test at Rice University because that's the closest testing location.
Say hi to my friends at Rice.
Yeah. So it's got me a little freaked out, and I try to spend all of my free time when I'm not podcasting studying for Japanese. I don't know why I do this to myself. It's just, I don't know.
I think it's cool. It's a cool thing.
I got to have a thing, I guess. I'm not going to run marathons. I'm just going to study and take Japanese tests.
I was going to say just 2 years in high school, but really more years than that. Many, many years of my school career taking tests for fun.
Yeah, that's what it kind of reminded me of when I was thinking about it. It's like when you realize that you've got that competition coming up in ACDEC, and you have to like amp up the studying a lot.
Ooh, okay, senior year, I really just studied all the time. But I had a good study schedule senior year. I didn't just cram, but junior year I kind of crammed.
Yeah.
And for math and science in middle school, and I actually did a lot of competitions like that. I really liked them because I'm like a nerd. So.
Well, but the difference you are a member of our family.
Yeah. The difference about this test you're taking, though, is that they don't give you a medal and you're not competing, which I always like competing.
I get a really cool looking certificate.
Yeah, but you're not competing.
And I can put it on my resume.
You can't beat everyone else.
And I think like the level 3 is not really that impressive on a resume, but level 2 is actually like fairly impressive on a resume. It's like you know enough Japanese to actually like conduct business in Japan. It's not enough to be like a Japanese scholar. You need the level 1 for that, but it's enough to be like, good enough to like conduct business in Japan.
Once all the kids move out of the house, do you think you're going to try to get a job in Japan?
I would love to. I don't really know how realistic a possibility is, but I would love to live in Japan, and mom's up for it too. She's actually started taking like online college classes Japanese.
She's taking, so that's fun. She's taking a BYU one, isn't she?
Yeah, because they offer like an online class.
We
looked all over. We looked at like schools here and other.
Well, I think I actually suggested it. I was like, because they have
a really good language program there.
They have posters. Well, they also have posters at our church all the time for online BYU classes.
Yeah.
So I was like, you should just go try out the BYU ones. But
and they actually have one of the best language programs in the country. So they teach. They offer a lot of different languages. Yeah.
But you know who has the only music therapy program in Utah?
Is it
Utah State?
The Utah State Aggies.
You know, they don't even have any in like the west part of America, really, besides Utah State. There's a lot of people who come here for that program. Although, actually, my cello teacher, so she's actually from Texas, I found out.
Oh, really?
And she told me she started as a double major with music therapy and cello performance, and then obviously switched to cello performance. But
fun.
I had my first lesson yesterday. But no, but she went to West Texas A&M.
Where is West Texas A&M? I don't even know where that is.
Cannon, Texas, I think. Because I was looking at it because they have a music therapy program.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was looking at maybe, I don't know. I was looking at maybe possibly auditioning to other schools. I don't know if I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't want to because that's a lot of work to audition for other schools and be applying to other schools while I'm in college. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Hopefully you'll get into your program there.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of Texas schools that have it, so.
Interesting.
Yeah. So all West right. Texas has it.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
A news story that I really liked out of Mississippi. I don't know if you saw this, but a Mississippi homecoming queen earned her school's admiration shortly after her crowning by kicking a winning field goal in overtime.
Wow.
Kaylee Foster,
a
senior who was named Ocean Spring High School's homecoming queen during a ceremony at halftime of the game against the George County Rebels, swapped her crown for a football helmet, went back to work as the team's kicker. Foster ended up scoring a game-winning extra point during overtime. A video was posted on Facebook and the footage went viral. Foster said she didn't have much time to celebrate after the game because she had the ACT the following morning. I turned off my phone before I got to I got to the ACT and was like, I'm not going to think about anything. Just think about the test. And once it's over, I can think about tonight and last night, how much fun I'm going to have. I just kind of liked that story. So she was homecoming queen.
That's awesome.
She kicked the field goal or the extra point. You know the difference between a field goal and extra point now, right? Is that pushing
one of them is pushing your football
knowledge?
One of them is a field goal and it's worth 3 points.
And how much is an extra point worth?
1 point, right?
Yes.
And you get that right? Oh,
you kick the extra point after a touchdown.
I don't know how I even like learned that. I think I just like subconsciously picked it up.
So she was the homecoming queen. She kicked the extra point that won the game in overtime. And then the next morning she got up and took the ACT. So Kaylee Foster.
I had the ACT the day after my my Mormon prom. My junior year.
Yep.
Still got pretty good score, so.
Do you want to read your story?
Yeah. So this is Oregon party planners aim for blanket fort world record. So exciting.
I like this story. Although I have mixed feelings about this, and we can discuss it as we go.
Okay, I need to read it. Okay. An Oregon party planning group announced its next venture will double its Guinness World Record attempt for the largest blanket fort. Murderboat Productions, which made headlines earlier in the summer with a dance party at a Boeing 727 in the middle of the woods, announced Dream, world's largest blanket fort party, will take place November 3rd at the Oregon Convention Center. And it said the party will take place in two stages, an all-ages playtime party while the fort is being built during the day, and a 21 and over event at night. Structure will be comprised of geodesic domes connected by blanket tunnels, hidden rooms, and unique themes. Each dome is full of surprises.
So
it says,
here's where I have mixed feelings. Like, a blanket fort isn't supposed to be that well constructed. I mean, it's cool that they have different themes and tunnels, but the geodesic dome, like, who has a geodesic dome for their blanket fort, right?
What even is that?
Yeah, well, you know, like, when you, like, think about, what is the name of that big dome in Epcot? It's called Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a geodesic, so it's like a dome that's made out of triangles. So well, they've got, like, this internal scaffolding, and you just throw blankets over the top of it. Which doesn't seem like a true blanket fort to me.
No, not really. I mean,
blanket forts are just supposed to be like with furniture, and you throw the blankets they should over have them.
Had, I mean, you'd
and
think
you like anchor them down with books or stuff.
You would think that the Guinness World Record would have like stricter requirements on like supplies and stuff like that.
Yeah, like what you have to do for it to be a true blanket fort. On the other hand, it's still pretty cool.
So they're trying to. The current world record is a 4,000 square foot fort constructed by a group of YouTubers, of course. And then people planning to attend the party are asked to bring a clean blanket, which will be donated to a local homeless shelter after the event. So that's cool.
4,000 square feet seems like that's a record that's breakable. I mean, it really does. Big, but it's not bigger than like a good sized house.
It's almost a square mile, though.
Is it?
Yeah, a mile is 5,280 feet.
So if it's that many square feet.
So that's almost a square mile, which is not the size of a house.
But that's not a mile by a mile by a mile, though. Right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure a square mile is a mile one way and a mile another way.
So our house is over 3,000 square feet, though.
It's two stories, though.
It's two stories, and it's total, like, square feet in the house.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
It's weird to think about.
Hang on. How long is one side of
it? Let me do this, because I think what happens... Alexa, how many square feet in a square mile?
1 square mile equals 27,878,000 square feet.
Did you hear that? Wow.
Yeah, I did.
It's much, well, much more than 4,000 square feet.
Okay, well, I was wrong. But yeah, no, that makes a lot more sense
because
now.
I think it's squares, right?
Never mind. That's 200 feet times 200 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, wait. Wait, no, because that would be 40,000. Wait.
You're the math person in the family.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was just talking about my math and science team days. I don't know.
So you have to go like the square root of 4,000,
square root of 40 times 10.
The square root of... Isn't it the square root of 4,000?
This is so bad. It would be about... Hang on.
I'm so glad you're not a math major. You used to be really good at math.
I'm still pretty good at math. I just haven't done any in a long time.
I haven't done math in a very long time, as we've discussed many times on the podcast.
Wait, no, sorry, not 20. 63.24. What? Okay, it has to be... Wow. That doesn't seem very big.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's a definitely breakable record.
Ask Alexa. Ask Alexa what one side of a fourth... Never mind. You know, it's fine. Never mind.
I mean, that's if it's a square, right? So if it's a square, then it's 62 feet and eight on each of the sides.
I guess they're counting. I don't know. We actually had a tradition with our youth group at church, kind of, that started with mom because she was the leader for it.
So 62 times 62 is 38, 44.
It's like 62.3 or something like that.
Yeah. So that's probably right. So that's what I'm saying. That's a very breakable record.
I know. That seems easy.
You just have to bring a whole bunch of people with blankets and you
can
do
it. Well, I feel like someone's probably beaten that already and just hasn't recorded it.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, there's that one episode of Community, which is an awesome episode.
It's so good. I love it so much.
What is it about blanket forts that's so universal? Like, I swear, I built them when I was a kid, but no kid ever has to. You don't have to explain the concept of blanket forts. Kids just sort of spontaneously do it. Like that awesome? And the hot lava game. Like, no one has to teach a kid how to play the hot lava game. It's just automatic.
Yeah.
They don't have to hear it from another kid. It's, like, built into kids. It's hardwired.
Yeah.
Blanket forts and the hot lava game.
I feel like blanket forts Yeah, I don't know.
And it's hard to explain exactly what's so awesome about blanket forts, but they are really awesome.
They are really awesome. But yeah, with our youth group, we might have talked about it on the podcast, actually.
Oh, yeah, I think you did. You had like an event at the church late at night.
No, we made.
I think it was mom's idea, wasn't it? She was the leader of the group.
I don't know if it was her idea, but she like orchestrated it.
It was.
It might have been my idea, or like because I was one of the like kind of officers.
Maybe it was a collaborative idea.
It was a collaborative idea, I guess. But it was, when the church was completely empty, we like moved all the stuff. We used like all the furniture and made this awesome blanket fort.
That's pretty fun.
It was really fun. It was pretty great. We moved all the couches. We had like the things that really made really good walls for our blanket fort. If you're ever making blanket forts in a church like we were, the giant rolling chalkboards made really, and then a fitted sheet.
Oh yeah, that would be really good.
Yeah, it was great. And then I also, the way I did it is I turned it around so that the chalkboard sides were on the inside of it, but the other side was kind of like a, well, maybe there's a chalkboard too, but the top there is like a pushpin thing.
Oh, yeah.
So we could use the pushpins to secure the blankets. My idea. It's my really good idea. But
that is a good idea.
We used all this random stuff we found. We found some jump ropes and had them as like supporting the blankets, and it was some string lights. It was really fun.
When I was a kid, my blanket forts were always kind of dangerous because I would always anchor them with heavy books, and then brush up against a blanket, and it would come crashing down on you.
Well, Elizabeth and I made blanket forts all the time, and we had definitely some stuff where you were like, something would fall on you, or
a piece of furniture would fall, or something like a chair.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're like, I'll just balance this chair on the arm of this table, or like the arm of this couch.
Yeah. Because you want to have that one like higher area where it's like a peaked roof.
Oh, yeah. No, but that was what we did. Our higher area was two chalkboards, kind of like a square. It was probably a solid, like, I want to say 5 square feet, but now I know that's wrong.
That's fun. And then you bring like flashlights inside the blanket fort and like crawl around.
Well, we had string lights too.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Very cool.
You could write on the chalkboard walls.
So I don't know. Like, I've never seen a blanket fort that's made of geodesic domes. But
yeah.
I'll give him credit for having the idea to do it. And
it's cute. And donating the blankets to charity. Like
that's a good thing. That's pretty fun. I've got a story about ancient cheese.
Mm.
A new study, new evidence was found in Croatia, which dates cheese making back to 5,200 BC, about 2,000 years than previously thought. So in the farmers near the Adriatic Sea packed clay pots full of soft cheese and used it to carry the cheese around. I've read about cheese before, believe it or not. And a lot of like thousands of years ago, they think most people were lactose intolerant. And cheese is something that helped people build up a tolerance for lactose and started people eating more dairy. And this was especially true in Europe, which is why Europeans even today are more tolerant of lactose. But
yeah, because a lot of people who are Asian are lactose intolerant.
Yeah, because they don't have as many thousands of years of eating cheese, they think is one of the reasons. So one of the things that's interesting about this is that the only reason they were able to discover this, so they found lipids or, you know, fat residue on the inside of the pots. But normally when they do anthropology and they excavate the pots, normally they clean the pots. And only recently have they started to not clean a portion of the pots. This were anthropologists from Pennsylvania State University. They said that it's only within the last 10 years that they've started to look at residue science. So the fact that these pots were not clean, they were able to examine them and discover that there are lipids that are found in cheese. And that's how they figured out that these pots were used to carry cheese. That's kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting what they can do now.
With
science!
Yeah.
And they give some other interesting cheese facts in this article. This is from Live Science, by the way. The name of the article is, "For Ancient Farmers, the Road to Europe Was Paved with Cheese." by Mindy Weisberger on September 5th. Some of the other facts she says is that people in the Mediterranean have been drinking milk for at least 9,000 years. And the earliest cheese-making evidence dates to about 7,500 years ago, based on pottery fragments collected in Poland. The ancient cheeses were probably like a farmer cheese, which is sort of a fresh, firm cheese, not squishy like ricotta, but more like a feta cheese. There is, in some cases, actual ancient cheese has been preserved. In 2014, they found preserved cheese wrapped around the necks of 3,800-year-old mummies in China. The cheese was likely buried with the corpses as a snack for the afterlife.
Oh, that's important, I guess.
We're going to have a little piece of cheese around our neck. So in the afterlife, we'll have some cheese to munch on.
What I would bring with me.
Another piece of ancient cheese was found in an Egyptian tomb dating back 3,000 years. They say probably not a good idea to eat that cheese, which, I mean, who's going to want to eat cheese that's 3,000 years old anyway? But they say it's probably infected with the Brucella bacteria, which will cause a nasty gastrointestinal illness called brucellosis. So don't eat cheese that's thousands of years old.
Gross.
I even wonder about like cheese that's in our refrigerator sometimes, because there's certain types of cheese that's really hard to tell if it's still good, especially the softer cheeses.
If it's in our fridge, it probably isn't.
Yeah, if it hasn't been bought within the last week or so, it's always iffy.
By the way, I put on Snapchat that I was Skyping into the podcast.
Oh yeah.
And two of my friends said that it was cute and that they stan. So
very nice. Very nice. Yeah.
I think I said, I can't believe I'm podcasting with the famous dad of Talk to Dad podcast. 1,000 miles can't stop the podcast grind.
And so far our technology has held up on us. So I'm impressed and encouraged that, this might be a regular thing.
Yeah.
We're going to manage to do it, even though our kids have left us. We'll still keep the podcast going. I actually admitted to my coworkers, that I have a podcast the other day.
They didn't know?
Well, I was in a training, so the training sort of was cross-departmental. So there were people from all different parts of the company doing this training. And at the beginning of the training, like, there were a lot of people. I knew several people in the room, but I didn't know everyone. But we were all supposed to introduce ourselves. And we were supposed to introduce ourselves and tell not just, like, necessarily something about ourselves, but, like, something that we do that, like, is a pattern in our life, or, like, how we – something that's important to us.
You said your weekly podcast.
And I mentioned the weekly podcast that I've done 117 weeks in a row with my family.
That is, and I also mentioned the fact
that I'm studying for Japanese. And I was getting weird looks, but I did have several people come up to and ask me, so this podcast thing, what's that all about and how does that work? And
yeah, it's hard to explain to people. I feel like a lot of people don't know what it is, and it's kind of awkward trying to explain to them, because you're like, oh, it's like, you know, it's like a radio show, but like, not on the radio, and you can just like listen to it on your phone and it's not live.
Yeah, I did eventually end up using the term. Well, it's basically like a 1-hour weekly radio show.
Yeah, because I think
they sort of
way...
know what podcasts are, but there are different
some
types of podcasts. And I don't know. Some people sort of know some what it is
don't.
In concept, but they haven't really listened to them.
And then you're like, well, it's like, you know, vlogs, but you listen to them and it's like.
Yeah. So that's our news. I do have a dad quiz. Do you want to do a dad quiz real quick?
Oh, I do have to tell you, by the way. Sorry, I forgot to say this in the intro. Do you know how much I missed you guys so much that I actually started listening to the podcast?
I noticed that. Like the first time ever. Had you ever listened to the podcast before you left home?
Yeah, I had.
But not too much.
It was not a lot, because my thing before was I was kind of like, I listened to you guys enough on like a day-to-day basis. I don't need more.
And that's fair.
So awful.
All right, here's our dad quiz.
I started listening to it. Dad
quiz. That's pretty good.
All right, this dad quiz, because this is your first inaugural podcast from college at Utah State University, I've got a dad quiz based on college. And this is when mom and dad were in college dad quiz.
Oh, did you make it?
I made it. There are 9 questions. They have to do with how much you know or can guess certain facts about mom and dad in college. So we'll run down these pretty quickly. Some of them might require discussion. Sorry, I had to cough. First question. What was mom's original college major? So I think you know what mom and dad graduated in. What our majors were at graduation. Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. You were philosophy, mom's English, right?
Not quite.
Did you have a double major?
I had a double major in liberal arts and philosophy.
Okay, well, I would have...
And mom majored in liberal arts. So we were both liberal arts.
Oh, I thought she was English.
Well, she started out as English major. Well, at one point she was an English major, but that's not... No. That's actually not the answer.
Oh, okay.
At one point she was an English major. When we first started dating, she was an English major. And then she switched to liberal arts. Mostly so she could graduate the same time I did. But what was her original college major?
I'm going to say journalism.
Very good.
Ooh, that was a good guess. That was correct. A total guess. I just could see her like picking that.
Yeah, and I was talking to mom about this earlier, and she asked, she said, do you even know what my original major was? Because when I started dating her, she was a sophomore and I was a junior. So we didn't know each other her first year in college. And she changed it after that first year. And I guessed it correctly also.
So I don't, if this is a question, I guess you can't answer. But did she graduate with only 3 years of college?
No, she was there for 4 years. But because she changed majors a couple of times, she could apply toward a liberal arts degree. But they wouldn't – changing to an English major – She became from journalism, she changed to English literature, and English literature had different requirements than, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it would have taken her longer to graduate if she'd stayed an English literature major.
I'm looking at that now because there's a lot of music therapy classes and there's a lot of them that you can't take until you're a major. So,
right. All right. Next question. What was mom's first job in college?
In college, because I know what job she had in high school. I don't know.
You might be able to guess.
I'm going to guess, because I know she worked at a Papa Murphy's, but I'm pretty sure that was just while she was in high school, right?
I think it was a Little Caesars. But I think,
no, it was Papa Murphy's.
It was Little Caesars, and it was when she was in high school.
No, you can ask her. I'm pretty sure it's Papa Murphy's. Anyway, you should ask her because I think I'm right. But
I'm gonna call her. I'm gonna put her on speakerphone.
Okay.
She's in the other room. Can you hear this? Allison, you're on the podcast.
Oh no.
We have a question for you.
Okay.
Where did you work in high school? What was the name of the pizza place you worked at in high school?
Little Caesars. Why?
I thought it was Papa Murphy's.
Phoebe swore that it was Papa Murphy's, and I told her no, it was Little Caesars.
No, it's Little Caesars, pizza.
Crazy bread and all that.
Yep, I know how to make the crazy bread.
All right, that's all we needed you for.
Crazy bread is pretty good.
Bye.
Okay, well, I'm going to say she worked in the writing center.
No, she worked at the student newspaper, the Utah Statesman.
As a features writer. She didn't tell me she worked there.
Yeah, but she didn't get very much money, did she? No, I don't think it paid very much at all. But
I think she said she got like 25 cents a paragraph or page or whatever.
Something like that.
Something
or
like that.
Column inch or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Did mom and dad have email in college?
I'm going to go with yes.
Correct. Uh-huh. Email did exist when we were in college. It was text-based. So you didn't go in through a browser. It was like you had to log into the system called the VMS mail system at Utah State. Mostly you could just do it from the computer labs. If you had a computer with a modem, you could dial in and get your email. But yeah.
Did you email mom?
It was like the earliest form of email. We used to email to each other, although mom says she doesn't
remember
it. Well,
it started as a college thing, right?
Yeah, it started in college. Well, I think it originally started, like the internet started as part of ARPANET, which was a military thing.
Yeah.
And then it moved to colleges pretty soon after that. So colleges had it before lots of other places had it. Related question, sort of. What department did Dad work for? Did Dad design a web page for in college?
Oh, design a.
I designed a web page for one of the departments at Utah State.
I really have no clue. Let me think.
You can just guess.
I'm gonna say I know I should just guess, but I'm like thinking.
It was one of the departments in my college.
In your college.
And my college was the College of Humanities, Arts, and Social Sciences.
Ethics. I don't know.
Ethics? You think there's
a department? I don't know. I was trying to think of like, well, I guess there's not a department. The language department.
It was a good guess, but it's not true. I had a work study job for the poli sci department. For a professor in the poli sci department. And most of the time I would do research for him. But I had the idea and I actually brought it to the faculty saying, hey, why don't I, because I had learned the basics of creating websites. And I said, why don't I create a website for the department? And the answer I got was, what's a website and why do we want one? Like that's how long ago this was. They were like, why would we want, what is it? And why would we want one of these? And I said, well, yeah, you can put information about the department. You can use it to recruit. You can talk about your qualifications. You can put stuff up on there. And eventually they were like, so you can just do this. And, you know, I was earning minimum wage as a work study student. They were like, and is this going to cost us anything? Like, no, the college already has the infrastructure. I'll just let me do it. Won't take too long. So I created the first web page for the poli sci department.
I wonder if, obviously, it's changed a lot. But I wonder if it's still based on the same website.
No, I doubt it. They probably have like a university webmaster now that has.
No, because now they just have everything .usu.edu.
Yeah, and I'm sure literally they have like if you need design to find something on there and things like that.
Yeah, no, but I was wondering if it was like from like if it just been, but if it's from the same.
It would, you know, it like was space. It was usu.edu back then too.
Oh, so really? It is like, it politicalscience.usu.edu?
No, I think it would be like usu.edu/polisci or something like that.
Oh, because now it's all just like whatever.usu.edu.
Oh, yeah.
If you're trying to find like the library, you can just look up
library.
Like you can literally look up anything. Yeah, and they have pages for all of it.
Yeah. Those top level domain names. Back then it was just, you know, we had a folder on the main server, I think.
Oh, okay.
Next question. What college club was Dad the president of?
Mock trial?
Nope, I did not do mock trial in college, only in high school. I was the president of the Japanese club.
Oh, I did. I feel like I knew that.
And we used to do things like, you know, have events where we'd get together and eat Japanese food or, you know, watch My Neighbor Totoro was one of our, was one of our events.
That's fun.
Yeah. Next question. What was the first college class that Mom and Dad had together?
I don't know.
I thought you knew this one. So we met in college, at college, but we went to college together. We ended up signing up for the same class. It wasn't because we knew each other, but we just like after we met, we happened to have a class together.
I really have no idea. I'm going to say,
you know what subject it would be?
Philosophy. I just said that really weird.
No, it wasn't a philosophy class. It was an English literature class. It was modern poetry.
Okay. No,
we
I did not
had
know that.
Modern poetry literature class together. Next question. Where on campus would Mom and Dad sometimes accidentally on purpose run into each other?
The library. I know this one.
The Merrill Library, which is no longer there. It has disappeared.
Well, was it called the Merrill Library?
Yep.
Because now it's the Merrill Cazier or Cazier or I don't even know what it's called. So it's still named. It has the same name.
Cazier.
Oh my gosh. Everyone says it differently, but I've never heard that pronunciation.
Yeah. Stan Cazier was the president of the university when I was there.
I've heard Cazier. I've heard Kaiser. I've heard Kazer. Kazer
is how Kazer. You pronounce it.
Okay. I've heard so many different
pronunciations. Yeah, it looks like Kazier or something, but it's actually Kazer because, I sort of knew him. He was the president of the university when I graduated. Stan Kazer. Yeah. He was a history professor before that.
Oh. Well, now it's it still has the same, half of the same name. So. Yeah.
But it's a different building entirely. Like when we went to visit, when you went to visit the college, I thought I would show you this, the place where mom and I used to.
They were tearing it down.
It was gone. Like it was.
No, we went by the year before that and they were tearing it, like in the process of tearing it down.
And then we went back and it was like a grass field.
Yeah. It's sad. I wonder what's there now.
I don't know. It was kind of a cool old building and it was like several stories tall and it had kind of creepy parts to it. Because it was a really old building. So if you went up to like the upper levels where no one ever went, you could kind of go back into the stacks and it was kind of creepy. But we used to always, so before we actually kind of started dating, we knew that we both went to school together and we used to both kind of study on the first floor of the library. And we sort of like, I wonder if I show up there, if she'll be there.
I feel like that was just you and not mom though.
No, she did the same thing. She admits it. Next question. I already asked that question. Only two more questions. Next question, is mom a true Aggie? And we have to explain this for our podcast listeners. There's something at Utah State called true Aggiehood or becoming a true Aggie. And how do you become a true Aggie?
You either have to kiss a true Aggie on the A that's by the oldest building on campus. Or on true Aggie nights, which I think is full moons, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what it was like when I was in college. So there's this little platform that's made out of A's. It's like four A's on each side, and it's concrete.
It's like where people take cute pictures.
And it's right there by the main building, the old main building. And on the night of a full moon, if you get up on that platform and kiss someone, I think it's technically supposed to be at midnight, but I think if you're in line at midnight, it's fine. Midnight on a full moon on top of the A, that's how you become a true Aggie.
And it's kind of an old tradition, which a little bit scandalous. I mean,
yeah, it's been around well before we were there. I think when my parents were at Utah State, it was a tradition.
It started from 1916.
Yeah.
Which I mean, for 1916, that's a little bit, I don't know.
Pretty racy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is mom a true Aggie?
I feel like I asked her and she didn't know. I'm going to say no.
Correct. Follow-up question. Is dad a true Aggie?
No.
Also correct. Neither one of us are true Aggies. I don't know why.
You guys should. Why not? Reason. That's so like.
Maybe we'll have to visit you sometime during a full moon and become true Aggies.
Yeah. They have a list of specific true Aggie nights. We have actually one of the organizations gave us like a, I think it was Utah State Student Association, gave us a little magnet that has a list of them. Oh, yeah. So,
like a schedule.
Yeah, there's a schedule on our fridge. So
that's very funny.
I'll let you know, I guess. During my church choir, they have a really awesome institute choir. And the director's really awesome. But every rehearsal, he makes everyone, because it's 2 hours long, in our break he makes everyone go introduce themselves to someone of the opposite gender and ask them and answer a question about themselves. And last time the question was, are you a true Aggie? And he said that the second question could be,
and what's
do you
the
want
answer,
to be?
Phoebe? What's the answer?
I don't know.
Yes, you
I
do.
Mean,
you know.
No comment. No. I don't even think we've had
a full moon yet since you've been there.
Yeah. Or I don't know, because I thought we did, but it's not on the list, so I don't know how they do it.
All right. Well, that's what you could do. That's doing something that your parents have not done.
I know. Yeah, so it's kind of a joke around campus, but it is also a real thing.
It's an actual tradition.
Yeah, since for over 100 years now.
Yep. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Okay, so for treat yourself... one, I sent you a couple of different treats in the package that you received yesterday. I think we decided to do ginger chews, right?
Yeah. So actually,
all right, and these
they're
are
the Chimes ginger
Chimes all natural ginger chews.
Right. So I've actually
two different
had
flavors.
These before.
There's mango and original.
So I was going to tell you, I've had this before. My best friend, who's been on the podcast a couple times, Ailey, her and her mom eat these like all the time, and her mom will like just keep, they'll just keep them in their purse. Like, so her mom would always give them to me, which
so
I appreciate.
Do you have an opinion
like
already, or are we going to try?
Yeah, they're
it?
Good. I like them, all but right. I haven't, I've only tried the original, not
tried
the
original. Let's try the original together just because. Let's go through the motions. I've never had
I don't
before.
Have an original. I just have mango and orange.
The orange is the original.
Oh, is it really? Are you sure?
Yep.
Oh.
It says original. I didn't think it says the original, right? Oh, no, it's orange.
Yeah, no, it just says the original
no.
chimes.
Right. You're right. They all say the original on them, but we have mango and orange. So you've never
so I
tried
haven't
orange,
tried these flavors, but I love them. It reminds mango. Me of my friend and her mom, who I really like her mom.
I've
she
never tried
give me
it.
These.
I've seen the mango candies in the store before, and they give me a little bit of pause because ginger can be really, really strong. And I think
it
that's
is.
Why
these
I've
really,
never had them before.
They are really strong. They're really good, though. I like them.
All right.
They're
I'm
going to
mute the mics. We're going to try the orange first.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll review them. Are you almost ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, William is going to join us. He just came into the room. He probably shouldn't have these with his braces because they're super chewy.
He really shouldn't.
What do you think? Do you have an opinion?
They don't taste that different from the original, but I still give them a delicious. I really like these.
They kind of have a slow burn when it comes to the ginger flavor.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
But I think I agree. They are really tasty. They've got a good flavor to them.
I also think they kind of take a little bit of getting used to. And I've had them before. The first time I had them, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this because they're super strong.
They're quite spicy.
And they're really chewy. But I really, like, I like them a lot.
Yeah, they're really spicy.
And I would always, my friend would give them to me at school sometimes if she had them because I like them.
What do you think, Will?
I think they kind of remind me of, like, orange-flavored Tootsie Roll. Or Tootsie Roll.
They don't remind me of that at all.
The lollipops, kind of. I don't know.
They're like way stronger than a Tootsie Roll, though. Way more spicy, don't you think?
I give them delicious. I like the texture.
Yeah. All right. So we all think they're delicious. Let's try the mango flavor next. Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. William's not quite, but he's almost ready. All right. So these, I feel like the fruit flavor is a lot stronger. I know it's especially when you very first put it in your mouth. So you taste the mango immediately, and then the ginger again is like kind of a slow burn.
Yeah,
so
I like this one better.
So first you taste
a lot
of mango, and at the end just taste a lot of ginger.
Yeah,
I really like it.
I agree. I think I like this one even better.
Delicious. I think so too. I also think it's delicious, and I like it better.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Yeah, those are good. I don't know that because it's so spicy, I don't know that I would just sit and chew on them all day long.
It was impossible to open. That's my only complaint.
They're good, though. You thought the wrapper was hard to get open.
Yeah, it's like if you, like, it's like when you, like, try
to peel.
Not
that hard.
Well, it's like when you try to, like, peel open, like, a Laffy Taffy and then it gets, like, all stuck everywhere.
Mine, I don't know. Mine was fine.
Yeah. So that's our treat yourself. And that is our... That is our podcast. So thank you, Phoebe, for participating all the way from college.
You're welcome.
Thank you, William, for joining us for Treat Yourself.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sacrificing for the podcast.
sacrificing his braces.
If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help out the show, the best thing you can do is get on Apple Podcast. Or now I hear that there is a Google Podcast app. I haven't checked that out yet. But give us a 5-star review. That helps a lot in terms of getting it the word out there and making it possible that they might promote our website. Or our website. We do have a website. It's talktodadpodcast.com. But you can... tell a friend. That's the other thing you could do. It's a fun family podcast. It's a good podcast to listen to in the car with your family if you're on a road trip or anything like that. But this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for later, alligator.